white people tell them, leave me alone. I don't know who I'm talking to, but Lord, leave me alone until I love myself. Because until I love myself, I can't really love nobody else right. Now, sometimes I want sex, but it don't mean I'm ready for commitment. Sometimes I want somebody to touch me, but I don't understand they need to speak into me. Because until I get myself right, I'm not going to be no good to nobody else. So, Lord, you know me better than I know myself. And don't you hook me up until I'm ready for somebody.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
We'll be right back. children. God bless you, young people. Thank you, Sister Madden, our youth director, and those youth workers who went along with our young people on yesterday to Lake Charles. It looks like they had a really great time, and we want our young people to be involved. Amen. And then our youth choir, God bless you. We're building, we're building, we're building. Amen. Come on, give them another hand. Hallelujah. Bless his name. As we shall stand now, I want to call your attention to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Next Sunday again is annual Men's Day. I want to say a word to the men today. And of course, since there is no... Amen. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, let me hear everybody say then. Amen. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and we pray, God, that you will speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people, that they will hear your word and know that you're God and God all by yourself. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to talk for just a few moments this morning, particularly to our brothers. I want to just say to you that we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Amen. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Thank you, ushers. We take many pledges in our lives. As children, we learn the pledge of allegiance to our country. Our policemen take a pledge to protect and to serve. Our doctors take a pledge called the Hippocratic Oath to uphold ethical medical practices. Our judges, senators, governors, and president pledge to uphold the Constitution of these United States of America. Married couples, amen, take a pledge to love, honor, and obey. And our military soldiers pledge to defend us against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The purpose of a pledge is to clearly define the requirements of the position and charge the inductee to be obedient. In our text this morning, God is outlining his concise charge to Joshua and the children of Israel following the death of their great leader, Moses. They'd been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, searching for the promised land. And now Moses, the prophet and constructive genius of the wilderness excursion, is dead. Joshua was no Moses. He was a plain, fiery, energetic soldier who was able to make sound, swift decisions. But there were three things that he needed. And brothers, I want to submit and suggest to you today that you need, amen, if you are going to get to the promised land. They're the same three things that we need on our spiritual journey to our promised land that flows with milk and honey. Joshua would need to be strong and courageous. He would need to be obedient, and he would need to be confident. In whatever way God communicated with Joshua, whether it was in his night hours by the Jordan or in the lonely realization that Moses was dead, Joshua listened for the voice of God and he was not disappointed. When we take time to listen, I know I got some witnesses here today. God has a way of communicating with us. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God we have a God who will talk to us. Amen. That was one of the challenges. That was one of the problems of the people in the Old Testament who worshiped idol gods. Many of them had gods, amen, made by men's hands. They had eyes, but they could not see. They had legs, but they could not walk. They had mouths, but they could not talk. You ought to thank God this morning that you serve a God who will talk to you. You serve a God that when you get in trouble, he has a way of getting to you. Won't he rescue you? Won't he deliver you? Won't he make a way out of no way? Thank God for our God on today. First, God calls for Joshua to have courageous strength. God told Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous. Y'all, in this day and age, amen, when we think of a formula for success, these virtues find themselves way down on the list. Except perhaps for wrestlers. They had a big wrestling event, I believe, in New Orleans this past week. What is it? WWF? Whatever. Amen. Now, if you're going to be a boxer, if you're going to get in that pen and box and fight, you better be very courageous. Do I have a witness today? But if you ask the accountant, if you ask the businessman, if you ask the doctor or the lawyer to list their most important virtues, I doubt that courageous strength would be on the top of their list. But I have come to this realization that all of life's conflicts require courageous faith. Do I have a witness this morning? The mother whose child is born premature needs a courage and strength that few wrestlers have ever known. A father who loses his job in the middle of an economic downturn needs courage and strength that few millionaires have ever faced. All progress is conflict, and we got to fight. Amen. I got to be honest and tell you that I'm not one of those preachers who would have you to believe that once you give your heart to God and give your life to him, that you won't have to suffer, that you're not going to have to fight, that you're not going to have to deal with any conflicts. Are there any folk who've been in God long enough to know that in this walk with God, you better have some fight in you. You better, amen, have enough fight in you that you're able to come up against the wiles of the enemy and look the devil in the face and say, devil, you thought you had me, but God is on my side. Come on, where are my folk who know that if God be for you, he's more. I said he's more. Oh my, some of y'all act like you don't know what more means. He's more. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Christians especially need courageous faith. We have an obligation to our profession as soldiers of the cross to take part in the great campaign against every sin. Thank you, Brother Mallet, that doth so easily beset us. We got to be willing to fight against the force that, if allowed, would make us all servants of Satan. There is no substitute for courageous strength. You can be friendly. You can be generous. You can even be brilliant. But if you don't have courage, you're going to fail. Oh my, I know I'm right about it, because courageous strength makes you take the next step when others say don't. Courageous strength compels you to forgive when others would just carry a grudge. Courageous strength takes you out of your chaos and confusion into a land that God promises will be flowing with milk and with honey. There's a show that I like to watch, and of course y'all should already know it's got something to do with food. Amen. It's called Food Tech. And on this show, this guy goes and shows you how different food items are made. He goes to these factories. And yesterday, he was showing how a pizza, all of the components of a pizza come together. He went to an olive farm, and he showed how they take the pits out of the olives. Amen. He went to a pepperoni, where they make pepperoni And it kind of turned me off because when they're making the pepperoni, this mold has to grow around the pepperoni in order for it to turn out the way we want it to turn out. But one of the other things that he talked about was honey. He went to a honeybee farm, amen, and showed how bees make this honey. And one of the things that got my attention, he said that when bees make honey, they always make more than they need. I'm talking about getting you to a land of milk and honey. Amen. This whole idea of honey. Amen. He said, and one of the other curious things about honey is that honey is the only food that never spoils. He said that they've gone into the graves of pharaohs 2,000 and 3,000 years old, and they found honey that is still good enough to eat. Now, I don't know if I want to eat in a 2,000-year-old honey. Amen. But when God, when the Bible tells us here that God wants to take us to a land that is flowing with milk and honey, the good news is that as it relates to honey, the food tech guy says that bees always make more than they need. And so whenever you're dealing with honey, there ought to be an overflow. Is there anybody in here this morning who can thank God that he has blessed you and you've been able to be a blessing to others because of the overflow? And is there anybody here who can thank God, amen, that when God blesses you, it will last? Come on, when God blesses you, you ain't got to worry about it running out. He will bless you and keep you in the midst of your blessing. That tells me, my brothers and sisters, that honey got to be more than just money. Anybody know your money will run out? Amen. Your honey can be the sweet communion of a saved family, a wife that's saved, a husband that's saved, children that are saved. Come on. Is there anybody who knows that to be honey in your life? Amen. Your honey can be a life in special service to the master. I think sometimes church folk, we take for granted that God does not have to use us. And sometimes our attitudes and the way we act when it comes to ministry suggests that God can't do it without us. I would beg to differ. I come by to burst somebody's bubble to let you know just when you think you are big and bad enough to sit down on God. Amen. I hear, don't you remember in Israel when Jesus came riding triumphantly into Jerusalem and that host was behind him singing loud hosannas, and those religious folks said, Jesus, make them hush up. Make them shut up. Jesus said, I tell you what, if they hold their peace, the rocks will cry out and give. I dare you, I double dare you, amen, to give God some praise. There is no strength mightier than the Lord's strength. That's why David sang, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's why Isaiah declared, the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. That's why Jeremiah cried, oh Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. Joshua needed courageous strength if he was going to lead the headstrong Hebrews into their new homeland. Oh my, tell your neighbor, it's not an option. It's not an elective. It's compulsive. And God is the source of our strength. Now, please don't miss that. If you're going to make it in this life, if you're going to make it on this journey, you need courageous strength. Amen. But let me tell you, that strength does not come from big bank accounts. That strength does not come from friends in high places. The strength you need to make it comes from God. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, I feel my help coming. Oh, my. Oh, my. There are many times, y'all, I stand up here and I don't feel like preaching, but just when I'm weak, oh my, the Lord comes in strong, giving praise in this place. Hallelujah. Somebody woke up this morning and said, I don't feel like going to church. Amen. But you let the Holy Ghost work on you, and now that you're in the house of God, you're not going to pity-pat him. You're going to give him praise. Come on. Now that you're up in here and you realize how far the Lord has brought you from, you can't be quiet. I got to, can't help it. I got to open my mouth
and tell him thank you. I got to lift my hands and let the world know that for Christ I'll live and for Christ I'll die. He's been good to me. But then secondly, amen, amen. Secondly, God calls for Joshua to be obedient. God says that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Look at this. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Notice, y'all, that God did not tell Joshua to write a new set of laws for the people to follow. He did not tell Joshua to throw the baby out with the bathwater, as the saying goes. He did say, do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Brothers, a good soldier has to follow orders. Do I need to back up and rewind to say that again? A good soldier, and a lot of y'all are military, proud military, amen. And if you'll do it for Uncle, certainly you'll do it for God. A good soldier has to follow orders. Courage and strength are first, but obedience follows on the heels of those virtues. Courage and obedience make the perfect soldier. I guarantee that if I took a poll in here of folk who've been in leadership positions in the ranks of the military, they would all have the same response, that my best soldiers knew how to follow orders. The point of obedience is to keep us focused on absolute acceptance of God's will. Most of the trouble we get into is of our own making. We carry God's roadmap for success in our back pockets or even on our cell phones, but all too often the only time we check it is when we get lost. The only time we check it is when we can't find our way. Amen. We could spare ourselves a lot of grief if we would just follow the B-I-B-L-E. And somebody made that an acrostic, basic instructions before leaving earth. Is there anybody here who's been in the word long enough to know that God's word is truly a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path? Come on. Where are my folk who can say, I avoided some pitfalls and some potholes when I went to the word instead of relying on my own understanding? For the Christian soldier, God's laws are marching orders. Amen. Amen. We don't take our orders from the lips of mere men. We take them from the captain of our salvation. And we stand at our post like guards. Wherever God assigns us, no matter what happens, we're called to be unmovable. We're called to be unbending. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that even if you don't like everything that's going on in a particular ministry, it doesn't mean you sit down. It means you stand up, you be courageous, and you are obedient to the voice of God. Is there anybody who knows this is God's business? That's one of the problems. In many of our churches, we got it twisted. We think this is our business. Amen. It's a democratic process. Amen. And it is in a lot of regards. But ultimately, the church belongs to God. Amen. The Bible is our constitution. The Bible is our bylaws. The Bible is our roadmap. And we better learn how to obey what thus saith the Lord. Don't you hear Paul saying amen in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58? Even if 1,000 tell us to flee, we remain steadfast, unmovable, always, 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 always abounding in the work of the Lord. And be sure to take your strength with you, because if you're not a bold Christian, you'll soon be frightened out of obedience. Lord, I just want to do what's right. I've seen it too often, even in the church. I've seen folk who won't give a dime to the church convince other folk why they ought not give to the church. I've heard folks say the tithe, you know, that's the law, and we're not under the law. No, no, baby, you have misread the Bible. If you read the Bible and read it right, you discover that the tithe came before God ever gave Moses the law. They were already tithing. Amen, amen. I've heard folks say, I'm not giving that preacher nothing and no love gift. He gets a salary, that's enough. Amen. And then there you go, following that witchcraft. Just because they don't want their blessing, you're going to miss out on your blessing. You've got to have courageous strength if you're going to obey what thus said the Lord. But then there's one more. God calls for Joshua to be confident of success. Nudge your neighbor and say, I'm going to win. Y'all, some of y'all say it like you really don't believe it. I need you to say it like you are convinced beyond any shadow of doubt that with God, come on, maybe this will help you. Say, with God, I'm going to win. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Amar. Amen. Victory. My name is Victory. I will have success. God told Joshua, if you're courageous and obedient, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. But notice that courage and obedience come before prosperity and success. Oh my. We get it all wrong when we think that money or fame or popularity are the root of our success. Beware of that shaky foundation. Sure victory, the kind that lasts like honey, can only come from God. You can be successful in politics, but what happens when you're finally voted out? And I've been praying. Let me move on. You will be as successful whithersoever thou goest. You can be successful with the new invention, but what happens when someone else comes out with a better invention? If you are going to conquer the world, God's way is the only sure way. If you want to be a